Today, we are going to continue our series that we're going through in the life of David, and we began this last week. Today, we're going to talk about David being in Saul's service, but an interesting thing is, as I was getting into this, the part of the story revolves around Saul, King Saul, being tormented by a spirit from the Lord, and I was told that maybe that evil spirit that was tormenting him was his mother-in-law. So I wanted to throw that in there. I tell you what, last week, just the scripture from last week and the scripture from this week, man, I really struggle with it. And some of the things that are said there, and I can't go into depth with it all here and the things, but we'll gloss over it. If you have questions, we can talk about it later. You may remember that David's story, it begins in 1 Samuel chapter 16, which is where we're at today. We'll look at verses 14 through 23. And we read that God sends Samuel to go to David to anoint him as the next king over Israel. And Samuel anoints David. David, he's just a young boy. Some people think that perhaps he was only 12 years old and he was out in the fields looking after his father's sheep. They call David and he comes in and Samuel anoints him. And then David goes back to tending his father's sheep and Samuel goes home to his home in Ramah, and all the while, King Saul, he's in his house where he lives in Gibeah. And then sometime after all of that, anointing takes place. We pick up the narrative that we have today in 1 Samuel chapter 16 at verse 14, and we learn how David enters in to Saul's service. As we normally do, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through our scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 through 23. It reads like this. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendants said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the lyre. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes on you, and you will feel better." So Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." One of the servants answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him." Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son who is with the sheep." So Jesse took a donkey, loaded it with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." Whenever this evil spirit from God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. Thank you. May all be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, in his novel, the novel is titled Jaber Crow, the Kentucky farmer and writer Wendell Berry, he has this character, Jaber, and he talks about the work of God's guidance in his lives. This is what he penned. He said, "Often I have not known where I was going until I was already there. I have had my share of desires and goals, but my life has come to me, or I have gone to it mainly by way of mistakes and surprises. Often I have received better than I deserved. Often my faintest hopes have rested on bad mistakes. I am an ignorant pilgrim, crossing a dark valley, and yet for a long time looking back, I have been unable to shake off the feeling that I have been led." Make of that what you will. Interesting words. I don't know if you can relate to any of that. Now, young David, you may remember that he is out watching his father's sheep one day, and it's just a quiet day. Perhaps he's playing his lyre, his instrument, when all of a sudden a messenger that is sent by his father shows up and tells him that the great prophet, the former judge of Israel, Samuel, wanted to see him. And undoubtedly, David would be curious about this and why the prophet would want to see him. And so David dutifully goes and he finds his father, his seven brothers, and the elders of Bethlehem. Imagine what David's surprise must have been when Samuel takes this horn of oil and begins to anoint him right there in the midst of his brother and all the other elders who were there. You see, David had quickly learned that Samuel had been sent by the Lord to provide for himself a king from among Jesse's sons. Now, although no one knew it at the time, this was to be the first of three anointings of David as king of Israel. The other two anointings occur, one of them at Hebron, when David is anointed king over the tribe of Judah, who is part of Israel. And then some 7 years later, when David becomes the king over all of Israel. You see, the Lord had rejected Saul as king over Israel because of Saul's disobedience. The Lord then sent Samuel to anoint David as the next king over Israel, although David would not take up that office of king for many years later. Samuel obeyed the Lord. The Lord showed Samuel that David was the one that his hand had been upon, that his heart, that was in his heart to be the king over the kingdom that would last forever. No sooner had Samuel anointed young David as the next king over Israel in this semi-private ceremony, when the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. The first thing we see as we get into our scripture is that Saul is being troubled by a spirit. You see, God's rejection of Saul as king over Israel, it had two immediate results. The first of those results of God's rejection of Saul as king over Israel is that the Spirit of the Lord departed Saul. The first part of verse 14 in chapter 16 says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul." This statement about Saul is in very sharp contrast to the statement that we finished with from last week. Remember where from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord, it came powerfully upon David. When Samuel had anointed Saul as king over Israel years earlier, we read that the Spirit of God rushed upon him. Now, this does not mean that Saul was somehow regenerated into a saving faith. Rather, it meant that the Spirit of God enabled him to accomplish the calling that God had placed upon his life. However, when Saul rejected the word of the Lord, he was rejected by the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. See, the Lord no longer enabled Saul to accomplish the calling that had been placed upon his life. Instead, that Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David, and so that David would be able to accomplish the things that God had placed upon his life. Now, some people may be wondering if somehow Saul lost his salvation because the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. Well, we know that nowadays, every single believer, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So what happened to Saul? The answer is that Saul lived before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. You may remember Jesus has been crucified, and he was ascending to heaven, and he told his disciples to wait here until the Holy Spirit comes upon them in power. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, and from that day forward, all believers have the Holy Spirit. But you see, prior to that day, the Spirit was only given to certain people, and some of them only for a certain amount of time. The words of our scripture says it was on a temporary basis. Samson is an example of this. Michael Bentley writes that Samson was a judge in Israel who had been appointed and empowered by God for the great task of leading the people into the right ways. However, because of his own foolishness, there came a period in Samson's life where the Spirit left him. He was then so far away from God that he was unaware that the Lord had even left him. And so in our scripture today, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. But the second result of God's rejection of Saul as king over Israel is that a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented Saul. The second part of verse 14 actually says that an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. So what's going on here? Did the Lord send an evil spirit to torment Saul? Commentators, they offer different solutions to this question. One group of commentators, they suggest that the people in ancient times, they did not understand modern psychology the way that we understand it. Saul's torment, it was some kind of psychological affliction, perhaps something like a bipolar disorder. And then there's another group of commentators that say that the Spirit's departure from Saul, it opened him to this demonic affliction. So God's Spirit departs from Saul, and that somehow leaves a void or a vacuum within him, and this evil spirit, this demonic spirit, comes in and takes that place. But you see, the difficulty with both of these solutions is that our Scripture explicitly states that Saul's affliction, it was from the Lord. So how do we understand the Scripture? Did the Lord send an evil spirit to torment Saul? Commentator Robert Bergen, he answers this way. He says, Saul's tortured state was not an accident of nature, nor was it essentially a medical condition. It was a supernatural assault by a being that was sent on the Lord's command, and it was brought on by Saul's disobedience. You see, God, he was judging Saul for his repeated disobedience and his unwillingness to repent by afflicting him with a harmful spirit, presumably an angel that came and tormented him. Now, there is a lesson here for us. You see, not all affliction is psychological or demonic. Sometimes it is actually caused by the Lord himself. God can use evil spirits to assist him in disciplining those who sin, and even to help prevent us from sinning. Well, we may say, that's really not that fair. We need to remember that God, he views our sin as much worse than we do. We are a fallen people, and to us, we try to gauge sin and decide what is worse than others. But to God, all sin is bad, and all sin separates us from him. We sin all the time. And to a holy God, we are a very wicked people. We are wretched people. And so sometimes he allows the evil spirits to come and to afflict us. Now with Job, God did not tell Satan what to do. He simply told Satan what he could not do. And then with King Ahab, God wanted to know some of the more specific actions that would occur. See, sometimes God is very direct, and on other occasions, he gives freedom to the evil spirits to roam and to do what they need. Not every affliction or difficulty that we experience is caused by evil spirits. But some of them might be. And that is why we need the armor of God, the full armor of God. And that is why we need to learn to walk in the Spirit, to stay as close to the Holy Spirit as we can. God has given us the spiritual weapons, the tools that we need so we can battle against sin, so that we can battle against Satan and his evilness, and we can win the battle. Sometimes the Lord torments us with harmful spirits in order to cause us to turn to him in repentance. But you see, that's not the solution that was offered to Saul. In verse 15, we read that Saul's servant said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you." I find it very interesting that they recognize that the source of Saul's problem, it was from God. However, sadly, their solution that they offered, it was way off the mark. They said to him, "Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the lyre. He will play, and when the evil spirit from God comes on you, you will feel better." Saul's problem, it was his sin, his repeated sin and not being willing to repent. Therefore, the only correct solution to his problem, it was repentance. To have someone play some soothing music for him, it would at best only address the needs, only the symptoms, but wouldn't address the true need for forgiveness, the deeper lying problem that he had. The lesson for us is that superficial solutions, they will not address our spiritual problems. We live in a fallen world, and things constantly go wrong. There is chaos and turmoil going on around us. We have all kinds of needs, and we usually want to meet those needs with things that make sense to us, things that we can better understand. However, we need to realize that a felt need may simply be pointing us to the fact that there is a deeper rooted, a spiritual problem that needs to be addressed first. And so Saul, he says to his servants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." You see, Saul did not realize that his real problem was that it was sin. And so he concurs with his servants, he agrees with his servants, and then one of them chimes in and gives him this answer and says in verse 18, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him." Now, we don't know how this young servant knew about David, but apparently he knew him well enough to give him a sterling character reference, a man who is skilled in playing, a man of valor, a man of war. He is prudent in speech. He is a man of good presence. And most importantly, the Lord was with him. And so they go and they fetch David, and he comes into Saul's service. Apparently, Saul is very pleased with his servant's solution, and so he sends a messenger to Jesse, and he says, "Send me David, your son who is with the sheep." And so Jesse agreed to send David to go and to serve Saul, and that is how David came into Saul's service. And David, he found favor in the sight of Saul. He served him faithfully. And whenever this harmful spirit from God would come upon Saul, David would take out his instrument and he would begin to play. And then relief would come to Saul and he would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. David's ministry to Saul, it helped Saul so that he could continue to be able to carry out his functions as the king of Israel, although he was doing it on his own strength and in his own ability. But you see, in God's providence, in God's sovereignty, David is now getting a front row seat in observing King Saul as he rules over Israel. He saw how Saul governed his people. And undoubtedly, there are things that David saw and goes, "This is really good stuff. I'm going to remember that and hang on to it." And there were things that he saw that he would have said, "Nah, that's probably not that great. I'll pack that one away and not worry about it." David was gaining experience by observing Saul's administration of his royal responsibilities that would help him in the coming years when he would become king. And even more than that, David must have observed what God did to a person when he sinned and he did not repent. Saul's unrepentant heart must have made a great impression on this young David. Commentator Richard Phillips, he writes and says, "Perhaps it was the warning received in those early years that made David so willing in later years to humble himself before the Lord and repent of his sins. David would learn what it meant to have God's hand heavy upon him with the Spirit groaning night and day because of sin." But David learned what to do when that happened. And he penned these words in Psalms 32, verse 5. David says, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." And so again, in the providence of God, David became Saul's faithful servant. He was able to observe firsthand the administration of kingship and how it took place. And he was able to see the necessity of repenting of sin before God. But perhaps the most significant thing to note about David, it is stated at the end of verse 18, where the author says, "And the Lord is with him." You see, the Lord called David to be king. The Lord gave David his spirit. And the Lord, he was with David. And much like I said at the end of last week's message, David points us to his greater son, Jesus Christ. The Lord sent Jesus to be king. The Lord gave Jesus his spirit. And the Lord was with Jesus. In fact, Jesus made that very plain in his very first message when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has appointed me to preach good news to the poor." Phillips writes and he says, "God was with David because the Lord had determined to provide a king for himself, to rule over Israel. And likewise, God was with Jesus Christ, since the Father was providing his Son to be the Savior of the world." And you see, as we've looked at David and his life and the Spirit of the Lord being with him, we should all be thankful because the Lord is with us. The Lord's Spirit is with each and every one of us. Those of us who have been called by God, those of us who have chosen to follow after Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives with us. He is with us all the time. You see, because of Jesus, his victory over death and sin and hell, when he died on a cross, when he was buried in a grave, and when he rose again, he is able to give to each and every one of us his Holy Spirit, the Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost. The question for you right now, is God's Spirit dwelling within you?